Exodus chapter 3. And we start in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight where the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said, Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this new day, God. We thank you for just the good weather outside, God. And we thank you for the weather all week, Lord. It was a great blessing just to be indoors with all those kids for that amount of time. We just had some real time to just talk to each other, Lord, and just get to know each other and just the fellowship and just the grow through the preaching of your word, God. We thank you so much for that, God. Lord, I pray that you just help us now this morning, Lord, just to learn and be attentive to your word, God. I pray that you bless our fellowship, Lord, today and just keep us safe. I pray you just help me to preach your word now, God, and I pray you just help me to have understanding, God, and come across with clarity. I pray, Lord, for Pastor Kevin, Lord, and Carrigline, and just the O'Keefe family there, Lord, as they continue to try to minister to that area of Carrigline. I pray you bring much fruit in that area, God. And we just praise you now, Lord, and give you the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we see Moses, this man named Moses. Moses, at this point in his life, he was a shepherd. Moses had grew up in Egypt. He grew up in Pharaoh's home. He had grew up with all the riches of the world at his disposal. And as he grew older, he chose to leave Egypt, to kind of leave Egypt behind. He chose to get away from Egypt and to kind of just be on his own in his own wilderness for a while. And here you can see that he's in the desert with his father-in-law Midian, and he's a shepherd. He's actually a shepherd now. And at this point in Moses' life, Moses is actually in a little bit of a learning stage. He's in a bit of a learning stage. God is using this time to teach Moses how to be a leader. And as we were learning during the week, you know, this concept of leaving Egypt behind, there's many, many truths to learn from, you know, the story of Israel leaving Egypt. But, you know, as each day went on, it was different truth built upon truth and different block upon block and just the different things as Israel were going through the different parts from different stages in their life through when they were in Egypt itself and they had to, you know, put their trust in the Passover lamb to get them out of Egypt. When they got to the Red Sea, then they were in the wilderness, and then they had to go into that promised land. And there was many different truths, but the one truth that kind of kept pointing out to me that just kept sticking out in my mind as I read it was that, you know, they desperately needed leadership. Israel desperately needed leadership through their entire journey. You know, Israel needed to be guided. They needed to be guided and protected and instructed how to apply the blood of the Passover lamb. You know, when God was coming through Egypt and he said, Tonight, Moses, I'm going to come through Egypt and I'm going to kill the firstborn of every house and of every beast. And you're going to need to put the lamb of this innocent You're going to need to put the blood of this innocent lamb on your doorpost. And when I pass through the land of Egypt, when I see the blood, I will pass on by and your house will be spared. You see, God had to instruct Moses to instruct the people of Israel what to do with the Passover lamb, what to do with the blood. Israel needed to be led safely out of Egypt. After that night happened and the Egyptians were so afraid of the mighty wonders of God, now Israel were in a position where Egypt was actually telling them, get out of here, go. But Moses was still there. Moses was still there trying to lead Egypt out of it. They needed to be led safely out of Egypt. Israel needed to be guided and instructed and protected and encouraged to keep pressing forward despite the obstacles that were in their way. God, throughout this journey trying to bring them out of Egypt, God had brought them to the Red Sea. God had said, go over there and encamp at the Red Sea. Set up base there until I tell you what to do next. And when they went to the Red Sea was in front of them, okay? It was an obstacle. It's not like they could move the water themselves. It's not like they could swim across that ocean, okay? It wasn't a pond or a river. They just have to wait for God's next step. But the Egyptian army was coming up behind them, you see. The Egyptian army, the enemies from Egypt, were coming to take them back. Pharaoh did not want to let Israel leave. He wanted to bring them back to the world to serve him and to keep them from serving God. And you see, the Red Sea was an obstacle in front of them, but they needed to be led by God. They needed to be encouraged by God through Moses to keep pressing forward. When they were afraid and they were looking what to do at the Red Sea, God told Moses to tell them, press forward. Just go forward into the Red Sea and I will make a path for you. They had to be guided and encouraged to go forward. You see, you know, throughout Israel's entire journey, in fact, even up to the point of the Red Sea, God was actually leading them day and night, every single day and every single night by the cloud in the sky and by the fire at nighttime. Every single day, as the cloud moved, the people moved. And when they rested at nighttime, the fire kept over them, you see. Every single day, God was with them, leading them, guiding them and protecting them, showing them where to go. And you see, you first had Moses and Aaron. You had Moses and Aaron, and then you had Joshua and Caleb, okay? And they were both, at different points, tasked to lead Israel on their journey out of Egypt. You know, Israel desperately needed leadership. They desperately needed Moses, Aaron, and Joshua, and Caleb. But it wasn't just Israel that needed that leadership. It was actually Moses, Joshua, and Caleb as well. They needed that leadership. Every single Christian needs leadership in their lives. You know, and I was telling the kids this, that, you know, when you look at the story of how Israel had to come out of Egypt and all the different things they had to go through, not at one single point were they without God's leadership. They might have been obeying it all the time, but there was not one single point where they were without leadership from God. God had made sure they had leadership. And you know, there's a real and urgent need in the church today for some godly leaders, some godly men like Moses to step up to the plate and answer God's call on their life to lead his church, to lead his church. You know, this country needs it. Someone like, you know, Pastor Kevin, that's what he did. God placed a call in his life, just like Moses. He placed a call saying, I need you to lead the people of Caroline out of Egypt, out of the world. And when Kevin heard that call, he obeyed just like Moses did, and that's where he is now. He's there to lead the people just like Moses did. But there needs to be more. There's so much more people trapped in this world that needs that leadership, you see. And that's what I want to look at this morning, is just from God's word, just some truths from this passage of scripture here about God's leadership in the church. The first truth that I want you to focus on is there in verse 7. In verse 7 in Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, in verse 7. You can see there that the Lord said, I've seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And it goes down there to verse 10, and it says, come now therefore, and I will send thee, this is God speaking to Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You see, the first truth that I wanted to show you there is that God desires his people to be led. God desires his people to be led. God's people here, Israel, were trapped in the bondage in Egypt, and God wanted them to get out. God wanted to lead them out. God desired his people, he desired Israel, to be led out of Egypt and into that promised land. And you see, the promised land, as we were learning this week, you know, U Camp wasn't just for kids, you know. You know, we call it U Camp, and our intention is to bring kids there to learn it. But you know what? I think everyone in the church should get down to U Camp away. You know, we should change the name of U Camp and just change it to Church Camp or something. Get the entire church down so we can all learn about the amazing truths in God's Word. But But we were learning that God wanted to lead Israel out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. And the Promised Land wasn't heaven. It's not a picture of heaven. The Promised Land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. God wanted to teach Israel how you could be victorious in the life that God wanted to be, that God has in store for you. God wanted them more for the people of Israel than just serving the people of Egypt and serving the world. That's what God wanted for them. And he wanted to lead them and guide them and instruct them on how to have that victorious Christian life. And it's the same with us. God desired his people to be led. Just like a flock of sheep, here Moses was a shepherd, and he would have been guiding and protecting and leading those sheep. Just like that flock of sheep, people, every single person, needs to be led, guided, and protected. You see, you know, the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. You know, that's what God thinks of us. That's what God calls us. We're sheep. We're his sheep. When Jesus was here, he was saying, you know, the people hear my voice, the sheep will hear my voice, and, you know, they'll come into my pasture and have safety. You see, God refers to his people as sheep. And here, just like Israel needed it, so do we. We need to be guided and protected along whatever journey God has in store for us. You know, there's several areas in life where we need to be led, guided, and protected by God. And a few of them that I just want to touch on very quickly is, first of all, the family or the home. The home. You know, God desires leadership or protection and guidance in the home. God has a plan for his people in that home. God has a purpose for everyone. He's a purpose for every single person at home. He's got a purpose for that family itself. But you know, in the home, in the family, we need leadership, guidance, and protection from God. We need it. You know, God has placed a mighty call on every single man that has a home. Every single man that is a husband. Every single man that is a father. You know, I'm only starting to learn this stuff now. You know, but here, when we were going through this stuff, you could see that God has a high calling on the man in the home. You know, it's the man's responsibility to make sure that what stuff is coming into the home, what stuff is coming in to his wife, into his children, is good for their relationship with God. You see, if the husband or the father is letting bad friends, bad influences into their children's life, then that's going to have an effect on his children. You see, that's going to have an effect on the home. You know, when you flick on the TV and there's all these kind of different shows on, those shows are bringing forth different messages. They're totally contradicting God's word. A lot of them have an antichrist spirit behind them. And when you flick that on, when you're sitting down on the couch with your kids around you or whatever, and you flick that on, you're watching it, you might be noticing it, but that antichrist behavior is going to have an effect on your kids. It might have an effect on you, but it's going to have an effect on your kids. And you see, God has placed a mighty call on the man, the spiritual leader in the home, to make sure that what's coming in doesn't degrade the relationship the kids or the wife or even the man himself has with God. You see, God desires leadership in the home. The church, you know, God has placed a high calling on men like Moses to be under shepherds, to be bishops, to be overseers, to guide and protect in the church. You know, what kind of stuff do we allow into the church? There's been many a church that's been led astray, just like sheep, because the man at the top has allowed different influences from the outside world to come into the church. You know, it starts with things like music. You start bringing drums and worldly music into the church, and quickly you're going to see a different spirit in the church. You see, and you're inviting it in. You know, the Bible, when Jesus was saying, you know, to beware of the false prophets, you know, who come in sheep's clothing, but they're like wolves. And that's what happens, you know, these kind of spirits kind of come in when we allow them to come in. And God has placed a high calling on the pastor of a church to make sure that he is guiding and protecting, he's feeding the flock, he's feeding God's people, he's protecting them and guiding them from these same type of influences. What about the world? You know, we need to be guided and instructed and protected in the world. You know, God says to be in the world but not of the world. We're always in the world. You know, for 6 days, we were able to get out of the world for a little bit. We were able to go down to Capoquin in the middle of nowhere. You know, there's like a shop half an hour that way that probably sells a few sweets, a few bars, you know, that's about it. There's nothing down there, but that's great. You're away from the world. It was awesome, at least for me. I don't know if the kids, but maybe 5 days into it, the kids were like, I want to go home. But, you know, for me, it's like, I don't want to go home. You know, well, I did want to go home because, you know, my daughter was there. But, you know, if Gina and Carolyn were down there, then, you know, I could have stayed down there a little bit longer, you know. Like, the thought of work tomorrow and the thought of just sitting down at the office and looking at all these ungodly people doing ungodly things, you know, it's just back to the worldly routine. But we need to be led and guided in the world. You know, every day of your Christian life, you're still going to be in the world. The rapture hasn't happened yet. You know, you're not dead yet. You know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but you're still in your body. You're still here present in this world. And we need to be guided and instructed and led through this world. You know, just like Israel being led out of Egypt, we need to be led through this world. You know, there's going to be different obstacles in our life, just like the Red Sea. There's going to come points in your life where you're going to have this Red Sea in front of you where you don't know what to do when it's in front of you. And you've got stuff coming up behind you. You've got the enemies coming up behind you. You've got the Egyptian army. You've got the Antichrist spirits and just the pressures of this world coming behind you. And you don't know what to do. You're going to need to be guided to navigate around those obstacles, just like Israel had to be guided to navigate around their obstacles. You know, you had the Red Sea and you had the wilderness. Even that time, that period of time where Israel were in the wilderness, just being led by God. You know, they needed to be guided and protected from themselves. You know, they, you know, as soon as Moses went up to the mountain for a month to talk with God, you know, Aaron decides to the people, and Aaron starts getting things in their head, getting different thinkings, and they had right intentions. They were like, we should make something to give glory to our God, and to, you know, an image that can praise his name. So they decide to build a golden calf or whatever, but that's not what God wanted, you see. They might have had the right intention initially in their heart, but what they were doing was wrong. They had no guidance there. Moses was gone. You see, without Moses in their lives, the people of Israel, you know, seriously, probably wouldn't have survived. They wouldn't have got out to the wilderness. They wouldn't have gotten to the promised land. You know, another big area where we need to be led and guided and protected is the Bible. You know, the Bible. And just like the kids were probably sitting down there asking me, thinking in their minds, why are you saying we need to be guided and protected through the Bible? You know, Satan knows the scriptures. Satan knows the scriptures and twists them in order to achieve his will. He knows the scriptures. You see, he uses a little bit of truth and mixes it in a big blender with a lot of lies. You know, in the Garden of Eden, you had Adam and Eve, and God had told Adam, you know, this whole garden is yours to do what you will. You can do what you want. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want. There's no time constraints. It's all cool. It's all peachy. You know, if you want to go over to that tree and just sit there for an hour or 2 hours, that's fine. If you want to go up this hill and start rolling up moss and see how much you can get together, that's fine. If you want to push it down the hill and see how fast you go, that's fine. They could do anything they wanted. There was one rule that God had told Adam, and he said, you can do whatever you want, but not this tree. Not this tree of good life. You're not to touch it. You're not to take anything from it. That was the one rule. That was God's word, God's commandment. And then there's Eve sitting down. Adam was probably up playing with the moss on the hill. But Eve is sitting down by the tree. And then Satan comes up to Eve, this snaky little slippery serpent comes up to Eve and just starts whispering in her ear, you know, you don't need to listen to him. You know, you're not going to die, you know. You see even right there that, you know, when Satan started going, you know, God said, you know, you can't have everything. You know, he started twisting the scriptures a little bit, you see. And then Eve was like, well, okay, maybe I'll give it a go. And then she did, and then brought it to Adam. And Adam, you know, he's a man. He just did whatever his wife said, you know. He took it. You know, it's all Eve's fault. It's all Eve's fault, by the way. No, it was Adam's fault. God gave Adam the commandment. He should be the one standing up and going, God told me to do this, and I will not do it. But Adam took the fruit of that tree. And once he did, they died. But, you know, what the Garden of Eden teaches is that, you know, Satan knows the scripture. Satan knows the scripture, and Satan uses the scripture. He still uses the scripture to do his own will, to get us to do what he wants to do. He's still using the same tricks. Even today, he's using the same tricks. He is still getting people to do his will by twisting the scripture. So we need to be guided through the Bible. You know, there's many churches that have different doctrines because they've got different Bibles that teach you different things, or even they've got the King James Version of the Bible and they're just reading it wrong, you know, or someone's like, this is what it says, and they haven't really studied it, you see. We need to be guided through the Bible. Just because you've got a King James Version of the Bible, which we believe to be the infallible Word of God, doesn't mean that you can't make a mess of it and understand it wrong, you know. When the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Elijah, and he was asked, you know, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I unless someone guides me through truth, you see? you need to be protected and guided when you're reading God's word, because you know Satan can. When you read that verse, if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit and you're not in with God's help, and you don't have mature Christians in the church guiding you and instructing you in what is true, you're going to have some weird ideas in your head. You're going to have some weird thoughts, and those weird ideas, those weird thoughts, those incorrect doctrines are going to change the way you behave. You see, and that's the way God accomplishes will. You see, Satan doesn't care who you worship. Satan doesn't care who you're serving. He doesn't care what you're doing, just as long as you're not doing what God wants you to do. Just as long as you're not doing it the way God wants you or intended you to do it. So Satan doesn't care if you're in church. You know, people come to church every single Sunday, every single Sunday night. You know, there's plenty of Christians all the world over who are very faithful, you know, but they're not doing what God wants them to do. Just like Israel were in the wilderness there, and Moses up on the mountain talking to God, they're like, well, we'll do church this way, because we think church should be done this way. This is what we think. So we're going to build a golden calf, we're going to bow down, we're going to worship, we're going to dance, we're going to play music. That's not the way God wanted to be done. But that's what they did, you see. You see, we need to be guided through the Bible and to understand the way God wants us to do something. You know, God has provided several resources in our lives which act as leaders and protectors. And the first one is the Bible itself. You know, Psalms 119, 105, you want to turn there. Keep your place next to Exodus 3, because we'll be coming back here. But Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay? Turn just a few verses over there in verse 130. 130. It says, the entrance of thy words give it light and they give it understanding unto the simple. So you can see here that God has actually given us his Bible to help us navigate through what he wants us to do. Through our Christian life here in the earth. What is it that God wants us to do? What is it that God wants us not to do? You know, he's given us the Bible to guide us and lead us and protect us, but we have to use it right. You know, God describes his word like a light, like a lamp that guides us. You know, as we're walking through the Christian life, you know, we need to take this light and point it on the floor in front of us so we can see what's ahead of us. You see, as we take each step, you know, we can see the possible holes that we might fall into along life's way. You know, when God describes strange women as a ditch, you know, be careful, you'll fall into them. That's what he's saying, is, you know, be careful. But just like any other light or tool that you might use to be guiding your way, you have to make sure it's pointing in the right direction, you see. You know, there's plenty of people that take God's word and they're pointing in the wrong directions. They're using it the wrong way. And then when they're walking through life, it's dark in front of them, and that's where they fall into the holes. You see, we need to be using God's word the right way. We need to be using it the way he intends us to do, so he can protect us and guide us. The Holy Spirit, God provided us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. If you turn to John 16:13. John 16:13. John 16:13. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit was given to us to guide us into all truth, to help us understand what God is trying to teach us in his word. If you turn to Romans 8:14. Romans, a few pages over. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. Turn back to Luke 4:1. Luke 4:1. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Notice the capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness. So you can see even Jesus, even Jesus Christ, one part of the Trinity, okay? You know, you've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. This is one part of the Holy Trinity that created the entire universe, in who's manifested himself in flesh. And even God, who spake the world into existence and could unspeak it whenever he wanted to, needed to be led through the world, needed to be led through the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus, even though he created the whole entire world, even though he's a part of the Trinity, he was submitting to the fact that, you know, when he's in the world, he still needed to do God the Father's will, and he still needed the Holy Spirit to guide him along the way, you know. And if Jesus understood the fact that he needed to be led, you know, I think we need to be the same. You know, we can't go through this world without being led by the Holy Spirit of God. We can't be led through the world. You know, this is a point that, you know, I knew would stir up some emotions in the teenagers. But, you know, God has given us our parents to guide us and protect us and lead us and instruct us in the world, you know. God has given us our parents. God has placed each and every one of us into a family which he has established and who he wants to use to train and to lead us through the word, okay. Now, the ideal home is that the parents are saved, the parents are born again. My parents aren't. But God still used my parents, and God still is using my parents to lead and guide me. You see, you know, in Jeremiah, God said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed thee, before you were even a tot, I had already formed thee. I already had a plan for you, and I had a plan for your parents." You see, you know, we don't have a choice who our parents are. We don't have a choice what family we end up in, because God has already had a plan. You see, and God had a plan to provide that resource. That family, that kind of parents teaching and guiding their kids as they're growing up. The Bible says to train up a child in the way they should go, and when he's older, he will not depart from it. That's what they're there for. You know, your pastor, you know, if you turn to Hebrews 13:17, Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, and they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So God has given the church a pastor, an under-shepherd, an overseer, so that we can be guided and led and protected through the different things that might pop up in the world. God has given us a pastor. And you know, God gave us the church, the people, you know, he instituted the church. He instituted the local assembling of local believers for that same purpose, to guide and protect each other and to exhort and edify each other. If you turn to 1 Timothy 3:15. First Timothy 3:15, and the Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So here Paul was saying to Timothy that, you know, if I stay here longer, so that I can teach you guys how to behave in the house of God. You know, he was teaching Timothy and the local believers here of just how to behave in the church, how to behave as a local body of believers, and not just how to behave when they met in their little building where they had church. It's they were teaching the church how to behave in the world, teaching them, you know, this is the testimony you need to keep for Christ's sake. This is the testimony you need to keep yourself. He was teaching the church, and the church is there to not just teach us how to behave here, but how to behave out there, how we're supposed to interact with the world. You know, God has provided several resources for us. You know, if we didn't have these things, if God didn't give us these things, we'd be like blind going around. You'd be like sheep without a shepherd. God has given us those things, but the truth is, most of us don't use them. You know, most of us don't use them. How often do you look to God's word when you're faced with a situation like the Red Sea in front of you? How often do you look to God's word to find counsel of what to do in that situation? I know I don't all the time. You know, there's times where I go, well, how will I fix this? How will I solve this problem? You know, I'm sure there's some way I can get out of it, whether it's financial or whether it's just, you know, where to go on holidays. I don't know. you know, whatever, you know, like, where to send my kids to school, what to do this weekend, you know, should I go to church for five days in a week if it's on, you know, how do you make up these decisions? It's supposed to be by God's word. That's how we're supposed to be guided and led through those decisions, but we don't always use it. You know, the Holy Spirit has been given us to guide us into all truth, but how much times do we sit down and look at God's word and we just start reading the pages or four or five chapters a day, and we've never really once, you know, asked God to help us, to reveal his truth to us. You know, we've never once asked the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth. You know, we're just reading it and, you know, it has no effect on us. You know, sometimes, you know, you could go through five, six, seven chapters and it's like, well, okay, that's 10 chapters off the overall chapter count, but you've got nothing from it. You know, you could go to Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 1, and just that one verse, if you've asked God to show you something, then he'll show you something, you see. We need to use the Holy Spirit, you know. You know, sometimes, you know, we'd have problems. We come to our parents, you know, and we'd ask, we might say to them, and then they might give us a solution, they might give us some guidance, and we're like, ah, what you know? You know, you know, that's what you're saying in your heart, you know, you're just like, ah, you don't really know how to fix the situation, I'm going to do it my own way. That's what the kids do, you know, that's what teenagers do. It's like, I'm going to do it my own way. They don't know nothing. You know, you obviously have no idea how I'm feeling, Dad. You know, you obviously have no idea how I'm feeling, Mom. You know, but it's like, of course they do. They were there. They made the same mistakes as you. They had to make the same decisions. They know things, and we need to listen to our parents. You know, pastors. Pastors are given to guide us and protect us through this world. Pastors are there to encourage us and help us up, and they're also there to rebuke us when we're doing wrong. You know, and when we come to our pastor and looking for help, you know, sometimes the answer that we get we mightn't like. You know, pastor might say, well, you know, the reason you're having that problem is because you're doing this in your life. The reason you're feeling that way is you just keep going back to that sin. You know, the Bible says there's sins that easily beset us, and they might, you know, a pastor might point out those things to us. You need to get that out of your life. You need to dump it aside. And we're like, oh, but I don't want to do that. You see, we don't always use the things that God has given us to guide us and protect us in this world. But God desires us to be led. God desires, as his people, to be guided and to be instructed, to be kept away from the things which will damage us and which will bring us back to Egypt. You know, we were talking to the kids about, you know, the concept of leaving Egypt behind. You see, Israel had already came out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. The ways of the world was still in their heart. They weren't physically in Egypt anymore, but when they're in the wilderness, the first thing they wanted to do was, well, how should we worship? How should we worship God? How should we praise God? And all they had known up to this point, a lot of them, all they had known was worshiping the gods of Egypt. These physical bulls and these physical things. And the first idea that popped in their head is, we'll build a bull. You know, because they had that, Egypt was still in their heart and their mind. They had stuff that they needed to rule out. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to transform, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You see, Israel, the people of Israel, needed to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. There were some things they needed to leave back. And that's what we were trying to teach the kids, is that, look, you might be saved. You might have been brought out of the world now, but, you know, you're still bringing the world with you. You know, you're still bringing some baggage with you. You need to leave that back there. You need to dump it behind there. And God wants us, and he wants us and desires to do that. And we need to be led and protected while we're doing that. But the resources that he's given us, we need to use. We need to use the stuff that he's given us. Secondly, there in Exodus chapter 3, the second point, if you look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, the second point I wanted to focus on is God calls men to lead. God calls men to lead. In Exodus 3, verse 10, it says there, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God calls a man named Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. Moses was a Hebrew, he was a Jew, he was one of God's people, but he was raised up in Pharaoh's kingdom. He was raised up in Egypt. He was raised up in the world. He had everything that he possibly had. He had all the riches that he possibly had. But, you know, as it says in Hebrews 11, as it goes through the roll call of the heroes of the faith, the things we've been learning about on Wednesday nights, is that Moses, by faith, he forsook Egypt because he esteemed the riches of Christ higher than what he had. All those physical, tangible assets he had, he wanted what God had in store for him more. That's what he did. You see, he threw that aside. You know, when he was in the when he left Egypt and he was just on his own for a while, that's when God was using that time to teach him and to prepare him to be able to lead God's people. That's what that time was for. You see, the time that Moses was out of Egypt for a while, was nearly 40 years before he actually finally actually led them out of Egypt, you see. God had to use that time to prepare the leader. He had to prepare Moses. You know, Moses was called by God to do something extraordinary from him. You know, he was called to do something very extraordinary. You know, there was like about a million Israelites in Egypt that needed to be led. You know, you try leading a million people out of a nation and to keep them on the straight and narrow all the time. You know, I found it hard in U Camp to have 10 kids and get them to do what I want them to do. Sit there, stand there, do this. You know, come on, we need to practice this song. Come on, we need to do this skit. And they're like climbing up the chandeliers. And they were just the counselors, you know. The counselors climbing up the chandeliers. And I was like, no, you're supposed to be the one in charge. What are you doing? You know, you're supposed to help me. And you're teaching them how to climb across monkey bars, you know. And it's like, I couldn't even fathom the task of leading Israel out of Egypt. What God called Moses to do, an extraordinary job. But, you know, what I want you to kind of get focused in the front of your mind is that it was not possible for Moses to accomplish God's will for his life. It was not possible for Moses to accomplish that task of leadership that he had placed on Moses' life while remaining in Egypt. You see, Moses first had to get out of Egypt himself so that God could prepare him and teach him and guide him how he could then lead Israel. You see, you know, if you're looking, if you think of this illustration, you know, you've got the man in the home. And the man in the home, the man is still in the world. The man is still in the world. The wife might be saved and the kids might be saved, but the man is still in the world. If the man is still in that worldly way of living and in that worldly way and away from God, how is he going to lead his family in the way that God wants him to lead them? He can't. You see, he couldn't. There was no way Moses could lead these million Israelites if he was still in Egypt and still didn't, you know, he was still going by the ways of Egypt and going by the ways of the world. He had to get away. He had to be separated. The Bible says to separate yourself and to become a peculiar people, a strange people, to get away from the ways of the world so that you can do things for me, to serve me and that you can be trained by me to do things for me. You see, Moses had to get away. Moses had to get away. Moses had to leave the things of Egypt behind so that God could use him and instruct him and prepare him to be able to lead God's people. He needed to be prepared. He needed to be prepared. You know, God has amazing things planned for each of us. You know, God has things planned for each of you. I don't know what it is. You know, there might be some, you know, guys here, you know, that have been saved for a while. They might have been learning the word, and as they're learning and progressing through God's word, you know, if you're listening, you might get a call from God to do something. You know, you might get a call from God to preach God's word. You know, you might get a call from God to pastor someday. I don't know. I don't know what God's going to call for you, but I know for a fact he's going to call you to do some things at some point. You know, like, you know, if I was to look at some of the younger guys here in the room, you know, 10 years from now, 12 years from now, 13, 14 years from now, I can tell you that more than likely, you're going to be called by God to be a husband. If God sees it fit enough for ye Christian men to bring some Christian ladies into your life, you're going to have a call of God to be a husband, to be a spiritual leader in the home. God might see it fit for you to have a family of your own, you know. And it's not that far from now, you know. Like, I'm only 25. I got married when I was 23. You know, when I was preaching down at U Camp, I said to two kids, there was two kids in the room, the two youngest kids were 11 years old, and I said, you know, 12 years from now, we could be married. Because that was me. I was you 12 years ago. You know, 12 years is not a long time. So God can quickly bring upon the call and requirement of leadership on your life. And you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. You need to be listening for that call, and you need to be willing then to do it. You know, third point I want us to look at there is from Exodus chapter 3, is God enables his leaders. God enables his leaders. If you look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11 to 14. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So you can see here that God, when God calls a man to lead in the church, when God calls a man to lead in the family home, when God calls a man to lead his children in the home and through the ways of the world, God will enable that leader. Just like God called Moses to do something great for God, God then enabled Moses to do that, you see. Moses received God's call. You know, he got the call and he said, okay. But, you know, Moses tried to escape that call. He tried to get out of it. You know, he was using some excuses as to why he could not be used of God in that situation. You know, in verse 11 there, Moses states that he's not big or important enough. In verse 13, he states that he's no authority. You know, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, it goes on. Here Moses is giving more excuses. It says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So you can see Moses even states that he won't be able to convince or to persuade or even lead the people. You know, Moses says in chapter 4, verse 10, in verse 10 it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses says that I don't have the ability. I won't be able to speak. I can't do it, you know. Moses is giving all of these different excuses as to why he couldn't lead in the way that God was requiring of him. You know, in verse 13, Moses says, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Moses was even saying, God, send someone else. I don't want to do it. I'm not ready. I'm not able. He's saying, send someone else. You know, send someone else to lead Israel. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. He wasn't basically saying that I can't do it. He's like, I don't want to do it. You know, but each of these excuses that Moses was giving God, God had a solution for every single one of them. You know, in Exodus chapter 3 there in verse 12, this is when Moses had said that, you know, who am I to go to Pharaoh? I don't have any authority. I'm not big enough. You know, God says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee. You know, God was trying to encourage and trying to reassure Moses that, look, you don't need to be bigger and important enough to go to Pharaoh and to deal with the things of the world, because I'm big and important enough to deal with it. You can just trust in me. I will take care of it, God was saying. You know, when Moses said that he had no authority, who am I that I can go to Pharaoh there in verse 13? In verse 14, God says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. So you see, Moses was saying, God, I don't have the authority to do this. I don't have the authority to lead. I don't have the authority to tell my children what to do. I don't have the authority to tell, you know, my family what to do. But God was saying, you know, you're not doing it by your authority, Moses. You're going to do it by my authority. You know, when you say in the home that something is wrong, it's wrong for you to watch that on TV. It's wrong for you to look at that stuff on the internet. It's wrong for you to listen to that kind of music. It's wrong for you to listen out to those, to hang around with those kind of friends. It shouldn't be your opinion as a father that's doing that. It shouldn't be your opinion as a mother that's doing that. It should be on God's authority, because God said it's wrong to do. You see, that's what God was trying to tell Moses, that look, you can go through this situation with my authority. I'm giving it to you, and you can lead with my authority, not through your own, because you don't have any. That's what Moses was saying, is I don't have any. Well, we don't. But God, there's authority in God's word. And that's the authority we need to be going by. It's through God's authority. You know, God tried to reassure Moses that, look, you don't need to worry, Moses, about doing the convincing and the persuading. I will do it. You know, the people mightn't believe you, Moses, but I'll make them believe me. So, you know, you might have this situation where you might feel that your kids might never listen to you. Or they might never, you might feel like they're not doing what you want to do. In the Sunday school room there, Eric, right now, might be chasing around some of those kids. Why don't you do what I'm telling you to do? And they might be obeying him. But, you know, they're not. Moses was looking at himself going, look, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to convince and lead or persuade these people. But, you know, it's really God that needs to do the leading. It's God that needs to do it. And that's what God was saying here, is that I will make them believe. I will persuade them, you know. Moses was saying that I can't speak. I don't have the ability. I can't do it. You know, I won't be able to go to the people. They won't listen to me. And here again, God said, you don't need to worry about your lack of ability, Moses, because I will do it through you. You know, I will do it. If you allow me to do it, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. And then when Moses finally says, God, just send someone else. I don't want to do it. I don't want to take this high task or this high call that you're placing in my life. Send someone else. That's when God really gets mad after being very patient with Moses for a while. And he says, no, you're going to do it because I called you to do it. This is your job. This is the task that I've given you, Moses, and you're going to do it. I'm going to help you to do it, but you need to do it. That's what God was saying to Moses. You know, Moses, God doesn't want to send. God doesn't want someone else to lead your home for you. God wants you to do it. God wants me to do it. You know, God doesn't want someone else to lead the church. He wants Pastor Craig to lead the church. You know, Pastor Craig could easily sit down and go, you take care of it, Brother Dan. I'm going for a holiday, you know. No, that's not what it is. You know, God given him that task, and it's his job, his responsibility. He needs to take on that call. You know, Moses had a lot of excuses, but they were all related to self. Every single thing that Moses had threw back towards God, saying, I'm not able to speak, I don't have the ability, I don't have the authority, you know, they won't listen to me. It was all about me, I won't be able to do it. My lack of self-confidence, my lack of self-belief, it was all self-related. He wasn't looking at God. You see, God was saying, I've got this task for you, Moses, I need you to lead Israel out of Egypt. But he wasn't looking at it like that God was going to lead Israel out of Egypt. He was just looking at going, oh, I can't do this. And just like God has given us a high calling in the home and in the church, God will enable us. God will help us. God does not want us to fail. God does not want to give that job to Moses and go, look, try leading Israel out and see how you get on. I'm going over here. I'm not going to be involved. No, he's like, I want you to lead Israel out of Egypt. I want Israel to get out of Egypt, and I will help you to do it if you trust me and follow exactly what I say, Moses. Moses, you know, was just looking at himself and his own abilities. And, you know, and when we try to lead and to do things in our own strength and our own abilities, of course we fail. And of course we're not able. You know, it says in Mark 27, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So you can see here that, you know, when you try to do it yourself, yeah, you might fail, you know, because you're trying to do it yourself. You know, yeah, you might not do it as good as it possibly could have done because you tried to do it yourself. You know, God requires us to do something, and he asks us to do something, but we need to do it through his strength and through his authority, through his abilities. You know, in Philippians 4:13 it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, when we're doing things through God, when we're doing things the way that he wants us to do it, and we're going and using the resources that he's given to us in our lives, we can do it. We can do it. We can lead and we can guide our families. We can instruct our kids the right way when we're doing it the way God wants us to do. When we're putting our trust in God's ability in the situation and not our own. You see, God, you know, with God's call comes God's enablement. With God's call comes God's enablement. You know, when God calls a man, he always enables him to accomplish his will. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You see, when God gives you a job, he's not giving you something that he won't do himself or he hasn't done already. You know, when he calls you, it's something that he's like, I want you to do this for me, but I will help you along the way if you want me to. You know, he will do it. God is faithful. You know, God never, whenever God gave a job to a man or to a woman for that matter, whenever he gave a job, there was no time where he didn't enable him to do that. There was no time where God wasn't present in that situation if he was allowed to be in that situation. God was always there. You know, Moses speaking to Pharaoh, leading Israel out of Egypt, God was with him. God was actually helping him to do that. Joshua leading Israel into the promised land, God was with Joshua. Nehemiah rebuilding in Jerusalem, God was with him. God was with these men every step of the way. You know, God will provide you with a help, you know, with a help that will help you through that situation, through how, you know, that will help him to guide and instruct and to lead and to accomplish the job that God has given you to do. You know, God provided Adam and Eve, you know, he said, here's a help meet. Eve is going to meet the needs of Adam in certain ways. He's going to help Adam and going to complete Adam. But it's not just our wives that God has given us to be helped. God actually provides men with men. God provides other men into the life of a man, into the life of a spiritual leader who will help that man to accomplish God's will. You know, that, you know, if you looked at Moses and Aaron, it wasn't just Moses. Moses had Aaron. And now Aaron had made some mistakes, but so did Moses. So you can't hold that against Aaron. Aaron had done some stupid mistakes, but so did Moses. But the point is that Aaron was there to help Moses. You know, when Moses did give all these excuses to God, he was saying, you know, I can't speak, whatever. He's saying, look, your brother Aaron can speak. I'll make sure that he goes with you. And he's saying, Aaron will help you, you see. You know, God provides every single leader, every single man, every single person that God puts that call of leadership on. He provides a helper along with him. You know, Joshua had Caleb. You know, Joshua had someone right next to him. You know, David had Jonathan. You know, David had someone that... David was the one that was tasked with leading Israel. being king of Israel. But Jonathan was right next to him, and Jonathan all the way was encouraging him and building him up. So when one fell, the other helped him up. It says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the counsel of his friend. And what I'm saying is that, look, there are certain things where in the life of a man, in the life of a spiritual leader, the life of a father in a home, there are certain things that he's not going to be able to get from his wife. You know, there are certain areas where God knows that a man needs a man in his life to help him, you know, to help him with that leadership call, with that thing. Just like David had Jonathan, Joshua had Caleb, Moses had Aaron, you know, all of the prophets, Samuel, whenever there was a prophet there doing God's will, there was always a man going with that prophet helping him all the time. There are certain things that God knows that sometimes, you know, a father or a husband needs another father or a husband who can help him as well, who can teach him from his own personal experience with his family. Oh, this is what was happening in my house. This is what was happening in this situation. This is what God showed me what to do. Maybe that can help you. You just need to go to God. You see, there's always a man in your life as a leader, as a father, who God has put there that will help you and guide you through it as well. You know, because maybe they're in the same situation. I don't know. But God has always provided a man, and God always provides men. Maybe even at some point there might be several men. You know, for you teenagers, you young guys, you know, God has provided someone like John in your life that will help you and guide you through these years of growing up. There's always someone God provided when there's a call of leadership that could be on your life. You know, God will strengthen you. It says in Psalms 18:32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. You know, in Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, God can use your weaknesses better than you can use your strengths. You know, when you think you've got, oh, I'm good at this, or I'm good at that. You know, I know computers, I can fix this, or, you know, I'm good with my hands, I can build this, I can get myself out of this situation. You know, what you view as your strengths, you know, God can use what you view as your weaknesses better than what you view as your strengths. So in a situation, you're like, well, I can get myself through this. I know money. I can sort out my finances. Well, that might be a strength in your eyes, but God will use your weakness. God will use a thing that you think you can't do, and He'll be able to use it better than you can use your own strengths. You know, God, He will use your weaknesses better than your own strengths. And that was the case of Moses. Moses was saying, I can't do this. I can't speak to these people. God still used them. Paul couldn't really speak that well. You know, he's very educated, but he's saying that I can't speak that well. God used him. He wrote 14 books of the Bible, you know. God used him. God used his weaknesses better than our own strengths. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, and the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what you view as your weaknesses, the things that you might be in that home situation, or you might have that leadership responsibility in the church, I don't know, but the things that you view as your weaknesses, God will use them if you want Him to. You know, you can just come before God and say, I can't do this, God. I don't feel I'm able to, God, just like Moses did. And God will go, well, don't worry. I will help you. I will give you this. I will give you the ability. Because it's not going to be your ability. It's going to be my ability. You see, God will show Himself strong, the Bible says, in your weaknesses if we allow Him to, if we want Him to. Just like Moses had. And the last point that I want us to look at is actually in Exodus 14. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And in verse 15. Here. This is at the Red Sea. This is when the people are at that obstacle in front of them, with the Egyptian army coming behind them. The people are afraid and they don't know what to do, and they're looking for help, they're looking for guidance in this situation. And they start crying out to God, they start crying out to Moses. And then it says in verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So you can see here that God requires responsibility from His leaders. God requires responsibility from His leaders. When the people of Israel came to Moses and were saying, what do we do, Moses? What will we do in this situation? The Egyptians are coming behind us. What will we do? We're going to die. And then God tells Moses to say, tell them, go forward, Moses. I've given you the responsibility to lead that people, and I want you to tell them, go forward, Moses. It wasn't God that told Israel to go forward. God told Moses to say, you tell him, I've given you this job. I've given you this job to lead them. No, go do it. Take the responsibility, Moses. This is your job. I will enable you and I will help you, but it's your responsibility. So God required Moses to take responsibility. You know, Moses was tasked by God to lead Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea. You know, God instructs Moses to take responsibility of the situation and to lead Israel forward. You know, God requires the same responsibility from every single leader that he places in the lives of his people. You know, pastors, teachers, evangelists, you know, they're all responsible for correctly teaching and guiding people through his word. They have responsibility to guide people through the word of God, how they should behave in their life as a Christian, what they should and shouldn't do. You know, elders in the church are responsible for many things. You know, elders in the church have a responsibility for keeping a good report of themselves, for keeping a good report. You know, that's what Paul said to Timothy. You know, Timothy had a good report. You know, when the people looked at Timothy, you know, he was of good report. He knew the scriptures from a young age, and his testimony of his life, the way he carried out, the way he behaved, it was a good report. You know, elders have the responsibility of assisting the pastor, you know. Hopefully that's what we've been doing when pastors have been away, the likes of Dennis and Leo and Brother Dan, you know, and John, when pastor's away, you know, it's like, well, we can't just be like what Israel were doing, you know, when pastor's away, the mice are going to play. You know, there needs to be people in the church that have that responsibility to go, look, one leader has gone up to the mountain for a month. That's how long Moses was away, by the way, a whole month, you know. Pastor Craig has done it for another few months. He's away. But, you know, wouldn't it be good, you know, for Pastor Craig to come back? And unlike Moses coming down off the month, coming down after that month, coming down, dropping the Ten Commandments because of what I've seen, his people doing, but wouldn't it be good, you know, isn't it a good report of yourselves that when Pastor Faye comes back, that we're not building up golden calves, you know, we're not building golden calves. And there's only one reason when we're not building up golden calves, and that's because of the leadership within the church. You see, God instituted leadership to make sure that we keep doing the right things. The only reason is that, you know, God has given us his word. God has given us the Holy Spirit to keep guiding us into all truth. And when we allow and use those resources that God has given us, we get to stay on the straight and narrow. You see, the moment Israel stopped using those resources in their lives, that's when Israel started making mistakes. And when we stop, that's when we start making mistakes. When we keep in those resources, we can stay being guided and led the way God directs us to. You know, husbands and fathers, They have a responsibility. They have a responsibility for loving and leading and protecting their wives and children according to God's will and God's word. You know, the Bible says that, you know, that husbands are supposed to love their wives as Christ loved the church. You know, Christ loved the church. Fathers and husbands have a responsibility for training up their children and guiding and protecting their family. Just like I was saying earlier, that the spiritual leader in the home has a great responsibility and calling for making sure that what stuff is coming into the home is the stuff that should be there, the stuff that will be used to edify and build up his children, you know. And this is something that I'm learning, you know. Every time I look at the TV, it's like, whoa, man, you know, I'm seeing it with different eyes now. It's like, well, that might have been entertaining for me, you know, but I don't think it's very good for Caroline. I don't think it's very good for Gina. In fact, I don't think it's very good for me. It's not going to help me with my relationship and my walk towards God. So I need to look at that as a spiritual leader. God has given me the task of going, no, that's not good for us. No, we're not going to have those golden calves in our house. We need to stay close to God. See, God has given that responsibility to husbands and fathers. You know, and one way or another, God will call and require each one of you in some way or shape or form to be that leader, to be that spiritual leader in the home, you know. I'm not saying that it's always just the father. There's some homes where there's no father. And then if that's the case, you know, the mother has to do it, you know. If there's no mother and father in the situation, the older brother might have to do it. You know, someone needs to be the spiritual leader in the home. God's biblical design for the home is a mother and a father, you know. That's the ideal situation. But, you know, God can use all things for good. When that's not there, God will still use it. But the point is that the spiritual leader in the home needs to be leading God's way. Needs to be doing it using God's resources. You know, you might be the best leader you could possibly be, but when you're not doing it in God's way, then you're going to fail. You know, you're going to fail. If you look around you and you see all the damage and destruction, it's probably because you haven't been doing things God's way. You know, when you see your kids running off and doing whatever, you know, then that's where you need to examine ourselves and go, well, maybe I left some things in my house that I shouldn't have. You know, I might have cut off their connection with their bad influence friends, but I still allowed them to watch all sorts of things on TV. You know, I might have cut out the TV, but I've allowed them to have whatever they wanted on their MP3 player. I might have cut out the MP3 player, but I've allowed them to have and do whatever they want on the internet. You see, it's up to the leader in the home to make sure that you're doing this thing. God has placed the call in your life to make sure that your home and these kids are drawing closer to God, not further away from Him. You see, God has placed the call on our lives to lead and guide our homes the way God wants us and desires us to be led. So, you know, God desires His people to be led. He wants His people to be led. He has that desire for us, and He's given us resources and tools to do that. He's equipped us and enabled us. You know, when God calls us to do something, He will make sure that you are able to do it. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able. You see, God will always make you able to do whatever He's calling you to do. God will enable you. But God also requires and demands that responsibility. When God asks you to do something, He's not asking someone else to do it for you. He's asking you to do it, and you need to have that responsibility. You need to take that responsibility on you and go, this is what you're asking me to do, God. This is the task that you're giving to me, and I need to do it, God. I need to do it with your help, because I can't do it on my own, but I need to take that responsibility. I need to do it. Just like Moses had that responsibility, each and every one of us has that responsibility in some way, shape, or form to be the leader that God has called us to be in our homes, in the church, and in the world. You know, it's not a matter of whether God will or will not call you or, you know, to lead in some way. It's only a matter of when. You know, as soon as you have a husband, or as soon as you have a wife, the husband is called to lead. As soon as you have children, the father now is called to lead. You know, as soon as you answer that call to preach, God is calling you to lead. As soon as you answer that call to pastor, God is calling you to lead. The call will come at some point. We just need, you know, you need to be ready for when it does. You know, so the questions that I got the teenagers to ask themselves and the kids is that, you know, am I currently submitting and obeying the leadership that God has placed in my life? You know, and that counts as the Bible, you know, the Bible, your pastor, your parents, you know, whatever leadership God has placed in your life, are you submitting and obeying them? Are you submitting to it? And, you know, for us older parents, we still have parents, you know, just because we're parents now and we think we know how to raise our kids. You know, there might be one or two things that our parents still can teach us, you know, and are we submitting to them? Are we still obeying them? They don't stop becoming your parents just because you're children now. We need to obey them, you know. We need to constantly obey and submit to the leadership that's in our life that God has placed there. You know, am I listening out for God's call to lead in my life? You know, are you listening? You know, you might have already been placed in the situation of leadership. You know, you might already have kids. God has placed that situation, you're in that situation of leadership, but you've never been listening out to the call that God has called you to. He's saying, I want you to lead this family now, you see. I want you to be the spiritual leader. But are you listening? Have you listened to that call? You might be in that situation, but you mightn't have listened yet. You know, you mightn't have heard that God requires that responsibility of you. God will enable you to do it, but He requires that responsibility. So have you heard, have you been listening to that God's call to lead in your life? You know, am I willing to answer and to surrender to God's call? Are you willing? Are you willing to step up to the plate and be counted, you know? Am I prepared to accept the responsibilities that come with God's call of leadership? And it's a pretty high responsibility, you know? When a pastor has a church under his care, you know, it says that pastor is going to have to give an account for his leadership of that group of people, that local body of Christ. That pastor is not going to be judged by your mistakes, but he's going to have to give an account for, well, why did this happen? Why were these people led astray? You know, it's a high calling. You know, the father in the home, you're going to have to answer before God as to why certain things happen in your home. You know, when your kids go off doing all this stuff or whatever happens, I don't know. But, you know, when you stand before God, God's going to have that, He's placed that call in your life, and you're going to have to answer for that responsibility or the lack of responsibility in certain situations. You know, why didn't you take responsibility? Just like Moses had to tell the people to go forward and had to lead those people, you know, we have that responsibility, and we're going to have to answer for it when we shirk it at times. You know, are you prepared and willing to be the leader who can be used by God for His glory? You know, are you prepared to be used by God? You know, you're prepared to step up to the plate. You know, as I said, some of the, this might be far away from some of the kids, or even some of you older kids. Scott, this might be something that's pretty far from your mind right now. But you never know. In a few years' time, this could be you. You know, this could be you, Eli. You know, this could be you, Rowan. At some point in your life, God's going to call you to step up and take leadership in that home that God has given you. But will you do it? Will you do the hard things that God is asking you to do? Will you be the one to look your kids straight in the face and go, no, you're not watching that on TV because it's not good for you. No, you're not hanging around with that person because he or she is not good for you. No, you're not going to this place because it is not good for you. Will you do it? Will I do it? I don't know. If we're trusting our own ability to be able to do it, we'll probably fail. But if we trust in God's ability and his enablement to do it, then we can succeed. But the question is will you? Will you step up? Will you step up and trust in God and be courageous like the Bible says, you know, to be strong and of good courage, you know, to harden your heart in a good way, you know. It's to harden yourself and strengthen yourself using God's word. Will you do it? Will you step up? Let's pray.